Golden State Media Concepts bring you Book Review Podcast, a haven for bookworms of all ages and the widest genres, from mystery to memoirs, romance to comedy, fantasy to sci-fi. If you love to read, this is the podcast for you. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Sarah, and welcome to another week. We are into February now. It's a new month and a new week, and I hope everything is going well for you. I hope you're reading some really awesome books, and I have another awesome book to talk to you about today and to present you with another author interview. Today's interview is with author Leah DeCesare, who wrote Forks, Knives, and Spoons, and she is also a member of the 17 Scribes group. We've had several of the authors from that group on the podcast, and they're always such fun, and they've all written such wonderful books. It's been great to get to talk with them and see just all the wide varieties of genres and topics and time periods and everything that this diverse group of authors has come up with. And now we have Forks, Knives, and Spoons, as I said, by Leah DeCesare. So before I talk about that book a little bit, let me give you the description of it. And that goes as follows. There are three kinds of guys: forks, knives, and spoons. That is the final lesson that Amy York's father sends her off to college with, never suspecting just how far his daughter will take it. Clinging to the utensil classification system as her guide, Amy tries to convince her skeptical roommate, Veronica Warren, of its usefulness as they navigate the heartbreaks and soulmates of college and beyond. Beginning in 1988, their freshman year at Syracuse University, Amy and Veronica meet an assortment of guys, from slotted spoons and shrimp forks to butter knives and sporks, all while trying to learn if the UCS holds true. On the quest to find their perfect steak knives, they learn to believe in themselves and not to settle in love or life. So that is the description of Forks, Knives, and Spoons. And as you can see, just from that description, there's going to be humor in there. I mean, it never occurred to me to classify the guys I met in college or really anywhere else in life by the utensil classification system, to call them forks or knives or spoons. And as you could see, when they brought in things like sporks and shrimp forks, that Amy's dad gave her a pretty basic description, forks, knives, and spoons, and Amy and her friends took it much further beyond that. I mean, they come up with some crazy, crazy descriptions, and it's so much fun. And it's also fun because, as the description said, Amy and Veronica start their freshman year at Syracuse University in 1988. And so you get to travel back in time to the era of big hair and different music and different movies. And it's very nostalgic. And there's all sorts of great little details of things that I had forgotten. And this book brought back up for me. As I say in the interview, I'm a little bit younger than Amy and Veronica. I graduated high school in 1993. So went to college at a little bit different, just a little bit later than they did, but I still remember a lot of the things that happened to them and a lot of the, you know, the hairstyles and the clothing choices. And as the book progresses and you get into the 90s a little bit, it's a very fun trip down memory lane if you grew up in that time period or went to college in that time period. And if you didn't, if you are much younger than that, it's just a lot of fun to read about that time and see how college was in a different time than what you're used to. For instance, we have a whole conversation in the interview about the lack of cell phones and how that changes communication. There's no cell phones, there's no email. And so, you know, it's letter writing and it is tracking down people in different ways than being able to just call them and say, hey, where are you? Or text them and say, hey, where are you? So the book is just a lot of fun, and I had so much fun reading it. Not as much fun as I had talking to Leah. She is a hoot, and she made me laugh, and I had a blast talking to her. So I hope you have as much fun listening to this interview as I had conducting it. Let's get to that interview, and you can judge for yourself. Here's my interview with Leah DeCesare, author of Forks, Knives, and Spoons. Hi, Leah. Welcome to the podcast. I'm so excited to talk to you today.
Thanks for having me, Sarah. I'm excited to be here.
So we are here to talk about your book, Forks, Knives, and Spoons, and we'll get to that in just a few minutes. But before we do that, if you wouldn't mind sharing with my listeners just a little bit about yourself so they can get to know you.
Oh, sure. Well, thank you. So I have three kids. My oldest is a freshman at NYU. I have a junior son and an eighth grade daughter. So they keep me busy, and I do some volunteering for the schools and for Kappa Kappa Gamma, the fraternity that I belong to. And I work at a little local bookshop on the side, which I love. It's such fun extra project to work on and get to see the full cycle of the book, I guess. So, yeah, happily married to my steak knife. We're married almost 24 years.
Okay, so we're going to have to explain the steak knife comment for people who haven't read the book. So that segues nicely into tell us about Forks, Knives, and Spoons.
Okay, so this is my first novel, and I've always, always wanted to write a novel, literally since as early as I can remember, kindergarten, first grade. I always wanted to be a writer. So finally, though, I hit my 40s, and I was like, what are you waiting for? When are you going to do this? Life had taken me in different directions. So when I sat to write my book, what the main thought that I had as an idea was this fork, knife, and spoon thing, because my dad had told me that when he sent me off to college. So I think he was just sort of in this desperate mode of, oh my gosh, my oldest child, who may have some issues like being a little naivete around boys. So he was desperate, tries to push this idea and lesson out to me. And we were out at a restaurant, and that's what he said. So the fork, knife, and spoon idea is what stuck with me when I was ready to go to write a book.
Okay. And Amy, who is the main character in the book, takes the forks, knives, and spoons very, very seriously. And she labels it her utensil classification system, and she puts every male she meets into that system, and it expands and grows. Were you as serious about the UCS?
So no, and so it really isn't my story, Amy's story. I certainly relate to her the most of all the characters. However, the real life kernel of this was that when I did go off to college, my roommates and friends and everybody on the freshman year floor, it grew and grew as it does with the girls in the book. However, no, I was not that serious about it. It lingered in the back of my head for all these decades, just I think because it was interesting and because it did catch on so much with my friends, you know, viral before viral was a thing. And so it caught on so much that I felt like, gosh, there's something there, but it wasn't a story. I had to create and back into the story around that. And it worked really nicely to have Amy be so committed to this system that her dad, and it had just been she and her dad her whole life, so she was so committed to his advice that she takes it a little bit too far. And then Veronica, her roommate and counterpart, is really kind of dismissive and skeptical of it. So I liked that opposition in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they make a good balance for each other, because while you're reading the story, Amy is so committed to it, and having Veronica kind of echo some of my eye-rolling thoughts was nice, you know,
right?
Because Amy's really,
right, exactly,
really cute about it, but at the same time, you're like, geez, girl, move on.
Exactly. I think you're a little too attached to this.
Right, yeah. So talk a little bit more about Amy and Veronica, because it really is both of their stories. Can you give us some insight into their characters?
Yeah, it is. And I really, when I initially wrote the book, it was all from Amy's point of view. And my editor early on said, wow, you really know Veronica so well. You need to give her equal time on the page. So I went back and did a very major revision to make it equal and to make it both of their stories. And in doing that, it worked wonders. And Amy came to life and became even more three-dimensional because we got to see her from Veronica's point of view as well. So I loved that. And I also had an editor say, gosh, I love the way that you start the book with Amy and Veronica and you end the book with Amy and Veronica. And their friendship is almost like another romance, if you will, in the book. And I think ultimately this is a book about, you know, we have this silly system of the forks, knives, and spoons, which I think is really fun. But in the end, the book is about friendship and it's about women believing in themselves and not attaching their value to a man. So.
Okay. Yeah. And so it starts when Amy and Veronica start their freshman year of college, and that's 1988. So it's really fun to have, I mean, you've got the kind of bigger details of what movies they go see. And, you know, they go see Rain Man and they watch When Harry Met Sally and they watch all these movies that you remember from that time period. But I loved your other details. Like at one point in the early 90s, Veronica and Amy are doing a Denise Austin workout video in their apartment. And you're very specific. At one point, Amy has Crest Fluorostat toothpaste, which I hadn't thought of in forever.
Yeah.
So, talk a little bit about the time frame going back to the late 80s to start the book.
Yeah, sure. So originally I thought it would be easy, which was such a joke. I thought, oh, I lived that time. And those were, I picked my years in college thinking again, it would be easy because I'd be able to, you know, say, oh, tag this to say my sophomore year or what we were wearing or listening to. But in fact, it took a ton of research that I hadn't quite expected originally, what was a popular toothpaste in that? And I could have used Colgate or Crest. I mean, it's out now, but I think it became more important when you're like, oh my gosh, I forgot about that toothpaste that was really popular then that isn't here anymore. So it took a lot more research than I had expected, but I really felt like writing in that era, it did two things. One, because I lived that, it gave a very authentic college experience in my writing because I was able to add a context and a finesse about it that I wouldn't be able to do necessarily about today's college students without living there or really experiencing it. And then the second thing was that I think the nostalgia of it has been super fun for, you know, women who've read it, who've lived through it, but also it highlights the lessons and the themes of the book, like women needing to believe in themselves. And that's a constant. And it doesn't matter what era or what, what time period it is. Those are universal truths. So I like that it highlighted that by setting it against the backdrop of a different decade. So that was part of my thinking in setting it at that time.
I do need to interrupt so we can take our first break of the podcast. But there you have Leah's explanation for setting it in the time frame that she did. And that discussion about not having cell phones and not having email and the different ways of communication and how that affected relationships. And if you remember those times or times before that, then it might have brought up some lovely memories for you. But we do have to take that first break. So when we come back, I'll be speaking more with Leah, more about the book. So stay tuned. You are listening to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, and I will be right back.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's gsmcpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the GSMC Book Review Podcast and my interview with author Leah DeCesare about her book, Forks, Knives, and Spoons. Remember, before the break, we were talking about the setting of the book and the time frame, it starts in 1988, and so what that meant in terms of communications, because I'm about to jump in mid-conversation due to where the break happened. So just remember back to before the break, and then my next comment will make more sense. And it really adds to some of the relationship drama that happens because there's no cell phones, there's no email yet. And so people really had, I mean, getting in contact with each other was a little more complicated. Yeah. So you, it created different trust issues than we have now. And I just, I loved the, it was making me think back to, oh yeah, trying to find someone and, you know, you have to call them and you can't just call their cell phone. You have to figure out, okay, are they in class? Where are they?
You had to be where you said you were going to be, right? If you were going to meet somebody up, you had to be there. And it is, and it was actually, ironically, it was kind of hard to almost even think back to that time of not having instant access, of not being able to just touch base with whoever, whenever, like the planning and stuff. So it's almost hard for us to remember what it felt like to do that. So it was kind of fun to go back and relive a lot of those experiences. I just heard from somebody as well that there's studies out there, which don't surprise me, but that things that make you remember, things that are nostalgic, actually have all sorts of medical and physical benefits to people, lowered blood pressure, lower stress levels, all these wonderful things. And I was laughing. I was like, well, wow, my book, which brings back all this nostalgia, has, you know, medical and emotional benefits to people's well-being. So
that's awesome. You need to put that in the marketing materials. This book will lower your blood pressure.
I have to cite the studies that say nostalgia helps with these things, but certainly I think that's coming through with people who are reading it are walking away feeling happy about that, because I think it is something that it was such a special time because of the lack of technology. And so I think that throwback I've got a lot of feedback that was a really fun part of the book.
Mm-hmm. It made me think of, I'm a little younger than Amy and Veronica. So I went to college just a little bit later than they did, but still many of the same aspects. And my roommate called me once. She needed me to pick her up from, she actually was a member of Kappa Kappa Gamma. And she needed me
Oh, no kidding. Yeah, no, that's so funny.
Me to pick her up from a sorority event that she'd been at, and I had lost my voice. And so the phone rings in our room and I pick it up and I can't say anything.
So
Rachel was like, I need you to pick me up. And I was like, but she can't hear me, of course. And so she just had to trust that I was on my way to pick her up.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
And nowadays, you know, she would just send me a text and I would text back and we wouldn't have to worry about me not having a voice.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. That's another whole aspect I never even thought of.
So we've been alluding to this through the conversation, but what are the autobiographical elements in the story and the characters?
Yeah. So it definitely started with this idea from my dad. And then, of course, so the Syracuse University is where I went. I picked those years again to make it simple for myself, or so I thought. But here's my thing is I always feel like, and I will share some of the things that are definitely from my life, characters need to be from somewhere. So they may as well be from somewhere that I know and I love and I care about, and it makes it a really much more special. So Amy is from Newtown, Connecticut, which is where I grew up. It's a dear, dear place to me. And I still, like, when somebody says, where are you from? I first of all think of Newtown, Connecticut, even though I haven't lived there since I went away to college, really. So I haven't lived there in decades. And yet still when somebody says, you know, basically what's home to you, that's what I think of. So it was special to me to be able to let Amy be from Newtown and put a nicer light on it than what people always think of Newtown now, post Sandy Hook tragedy. Her years at college were mine. A couple of the traits that are definitely me, I gave to Amy. One is that I am an incurable optimist. I always see to the point of not being realistic. I think sometimes I'm so optimistic. I'm the toothbrusher. I was like, I gave her that she just brushes her teeth like crazy. It was a funny quirk, but then I was able to really make it have some importance in the story where there were some reveals and things that happened because of her toothbrushing habits.
Right.
I just worried about
her gums the whole time. I'm like, the bristles were so much harder then. Be careful of your gums, Amy.
I know. Do you want to know what's so funny, Sarah? I was out to lunch with somebody a couple weeks ago. And she said to me, a friend I hadn't seen in a while, and she's like, we were talking about the book. She's like, I loved the book. It was so great. She's like, do you know what? I've been brushing my teeth a lot more frequently now because of that. She's like, I used to go to bed and not brush my teeth sometimes, or I wouldn't think about it. But since reading that book, I've been brushing my teeth more often. I was cracking up because who would think that that would be what somebody's takeaway was from the book? But
and it goes back to our earlier conversation, more medical benefits from reading forks, knives, and spoons.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, right. It'll make you brush your teeth more. Approved by the American Dental Association.
That's right. 3 out of 4 dentists recommend.
I love it. That's so funny.
But I interrupted you and you were talking about the autobiographical elements. So.
Oh, that's okay. That's funny. Yeah. So the toothbrushing, and then a couple of the little tidbits of stories. When Veronica and Amy are living in the sorority house and they're next door to Sigma Chi, in the middle of the night, they're woken up and they don't know what the music is coming from. And it's the guys next door on their roof replaying on a cassette tape the songs that the women had sung for Rush that morning. So that actually happened, where I woke up in the middle of the night confused and hearing us singing back to ourselves. So there was a couple little things that I could add in. And certainly a lot of the forks in the book. So for your listeners, forks are the real arrogant, cocky players. We all know the forks, like that kind of forky guy. So I just lost my train of thought. I'm sorry.
You were saying that the forks in the book, are you probably drew on them from experience.
Okay. Thank you. Exactly that. So yeah, so there are definitely some people in there who are based on real life characters or real life scenarios, but I'll never tell their real names, but there are definitely guys in there that I have passed in my life and then put them into a profile of one of the characters in the book.
Which is probably one of the cathartic things about writing, is that you can kind of...
Don't cross a novelist. We can put you in a book.
That's right. That's right.
That's so funny.
You also write nonfiction, and you've got at least 2 books, I think, called mm-hmm. Naked Parenting. Do you want to talk about those?
Yeah, sure. So I have a very weird and twisty kind of career path and history. I started at Lord & Taylor in right out of college, and I worked in buying, and I loved it. And I was in event planning and PR and store openings. I loved all that. And then I left to stay home with my kids, which I also so appreciated and loved. But I always loved birth, and I always loved and trusted birth, and went to a new mom's group after my oldest. She's 19 now. And I loved this group. And so I thought, gosh, I would love to be able to facilitate these kind of groups. And that sort of started me on a different career path that I was on for a dozen years or so. I became a childbirth educator and a doula, a postpartum doula, a birth doula. So I attended, 80 something births. My next book, incidentally, is going to be, it features a doula. So it's about a doula and a family she works with. So I was in this whole birthy world, and I was starting around, 2010, I started saying, why am I not writing more? I've always loved writing, and my life has taken me on these different courses, and I was not able to write as much as I would like. So I started a blog and some reflections, and I loved it, and it started me writing more regularly. And in working with families, I started to hear a lot of people saying, oh my gosh, I would love you to write a book about this, or I would have families coming back to me when their babies were 3 years old and they didn't know how to handle a toddler situation. So I said, I have this idea about naked parenting. Let me just try it. So I went away for a weekend and I wrote the whole book and then went through the editing process and whatnot. But that was really just the first shot at writing a whole book. And I never expected my first book to be nonfiction. So I wrote two, and I had a lot of ideas for continued subjects for the Naked Parenting series. But I'm going to leave it at 2 books because I'm so excited, and just where my heart is writing novels. So mm-hmm. that's where it's going to be.
Okay.
2 books in Naked Parenting series, and that's it. So,
okay. And do you want to tell people what Naked Parenting means?
Yeah, sure.
I'm assuming it's not literal.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's not. And I actually addressed that. I mean, certainly you could if you wanted to be naked, right. but not required. But yeah, it was really what I was starting to find was so many parents really felt like they were at the mercy of their children, or they weren't taking the like parenting by the horns and feeling confident in themselves. So I really take a non-judgmental approach where you as a parent can build your own parenting style, but we all need energy and new ideas and new tools in our toolkit. So that's sort of what my goal is. And it's really to try to empower parents to be the parent and feel confident in setting guidelines and, you know, discipline strategies or whatever it may be. So there's 7 keys to success: love, honesty, communication, responsibility, discipline, gratitude, and mistakes. So it's sort of taking the approach that if you can kind of have an idea and master these 7 ideas, you can apply it to any situation in any age of your children. So that's what I did then with the second book, which is all about, I had people vote on it on my blog at the time, and people voted they wanted to know more about cyberspace and technology and all of that world. So I applied the same kind of those 7 principles to that topic so that parents could then have more information on it. So they're both available on, you know, Amazon and on Audible. So they're still out there, and I still really stand behind them and believe in them. I'm just not, I have all these great topic ideas like money, and I would love to write the one about volunteerism and service, but I do not have plans to continue adding to the series.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. And I am going to jump in here really quick so we can take our second and final break of the podcast. But how fascinating are our authors' lives? I mean, they write books, but of course, they have so much more going on in their lives. And I was fascinated to learn about Leah's life as a doula and the fact that she'd written these nonfiction books about naked parenting. And just, I find it fascinating, and I hope you do too, because it's fun for me, and I put it out in the world hoping that it's fun for you. But when we come back, we will be talking more with Leah about her next book and the writing of that, what it's about, etc. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, and I will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Book Review Podcast and the conclusion of my interview with author Leah DeCesare and her book Fork, Knives, and Spoons, as well as the books that she is currently working on. You did mention that you are writing a new book. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so I need to kind of wrap up a better like elevator pitch for it, and it will certainly undergo more edits once it's purchased and it's in a publishing house. But at the moment, basically the line, I should have thought to pull that up for you so I don't mangle it. But essentially it's about a doula who gets too close to one family and definitely crosses the line with them. I think my tagline at this moment is something like, are deep secrets and grief enough to justify a doula's betrayal? So yeah, it's told from the point of view of the mom, the family that she works with, and the doula's point of view. And the mom has lots of secrets of her own that she then shares and and confides in the doula. So it's a very, I'm really thrilled with the way it came out. And so I'm excited to get it out into the world, but everything in publishing sort of moved at a very, very glacial pace.
Mm-hmm.
So it will be a little while.
Okay. That I think is one thing I hear from my authors a lot, is that it will teach you patience and how to have a thick skin.
Yeah. I'm working on both of those, because I have to say that neither of those are my fortes. But while I'm being patient, I'm trying to then also work on plotting another book. So I'm right now just at early stages of thinking about what book three would be about, which seems crazy when book two isn't even have a pub date yet. But it's sort of the path I want to be on, and to continue always having one that I'm promoting and working on, one that I'm, you know, crafting and writing. And then at some point I'll also be editing the doula book, which right now my title is Unknotted. So hopefully that title sticks, because I'm liking it. So I'll be editing Unknotted, promoting Forks, Knives, and Spoons, and working on book three, which we don't even know what that's about yet.
Right. Great. Would you have any advice for aspiring authors?
Yeah, I think a couple big things. One is to read a lot. Read and read and read, but read for pleasure, but also dig in a little bit and see, like, how is the story constructed? What really works? What may not work? What creates tension? What creates the pacing and all those sorts of things? So reading is one of the best teachers. And I always think we can keep learning our craft. So we have speaking of the difference between the 80s and now, we have this wonderful resource in the internet where you can get tons and tons and tons of free material to read and keep building and working on yourself as a craft. And I think that you can't, like you said, you do have to have a thick skin to some degree. You have to believe in yourself, the message of Forks, Knives, and Spoons, and be able to go out there and really work at it. Keep plugging away till you get to that. It's a big satisfaction and a big accomplishment, I think, to even complete a first draft. But then once you know that you have that first draft, you have to know that that's such an early stage in the game still, and there's going to be so much more work and editing and polishing and building from that point to do. So not to, yeah. Don't hit publish at that moment.
Okay.
It's still a long path.
You mentioned reading. Reading, obviously, to continue your education and your knowledge of writing. But what do you read for pleasure? Who are your favorite authors?
Yeah, great question. I read, and now it's as you, as a book blogger, have the same experience, that I'm constantly reading books that aren't out yet. Which is fun, it's great, but then I often can feel like I'm behind on the books that are out and behind on the books that aren't even out yet, you know. But I'm looking at Camille Pagan's new book coming out soon, sitting in front of me, Woman Last Seen in Her 30s, and she's been a dear support to me. Her books I love. Allison Wynn Scotch is great, and she also has been such a lovely supporter. I saw Jojo Moyes in Madison, Connecticut just Thursday night, and had a fantastic time seeing her. She was a great speaker. I love her books. I'm excited to read her newest. There's just so many. I've actually, at that same event, I saw Abby Fabiashi. She wrote I Liked My Life, and she and I are both in the group 17 Scribes. So I have a wonderful group of authors that are in that group with me. Kathleen Barber. I loved Are You Sleeping? That's going to be made into a series. I think an HBO series, if I'm not mistaken. So, so there's a ton. I mean, I just read so much that it's hard to even to list everything that I adore. But
well, just reading the books that your 17 Scribes group put out would take up a good chunk of time. Just
without a doubt. And I really, really tried to read, especially the things that are in sort of. We had a lot of different genres, and I consider myself like book club genre or women's fiction. So, and I love historical fiction. So those sort of areas are where I tried to focus my attention first, because we were, well over 150 people for the first debut year. So it just wasn't possible to get to everybody, but I have connected with, and done many group events with other 17 Scribes. Sandy Ward, who wrote The Astonishing Thing, Orly Koenig, and Kelly Garrett, who was the founder of the group, Kelly was, along with Laura Heffernan. There's just been so many wonderful books that came out from that group. that it's been awesome.
Yeah, I've had several of the authors on the podcast, and it's been so much fun. I mean, it's such a diverse group, so.
For sure. Yeah.
Where can people find you on either social media, or do you have a website?
Yeah, sure. Great. Thanks. My website is leahdecesare.com, DeCesare. It's not always so easy.
It's not phonetic.
And I do a once a month newsletter. So if people wanted to sign up, I don't bombard them with things, but I do a monthly newsletter where I talk about things that are going on in the book world, or certainly with my book news. I always highlight another book and pair it with a wine. So that's kind of fun. I do like a book and wine pairing, or sometimes it's book and whiskey, or book and vodka, or book and champagne. But it's some sort of a book pairing. And then I'm also on all the major typical places. You can find me on Twitter at Leah DeCesare. I have a Facebook author page. I think it's like / Leah DeCesare author. And I have Pinterest boards, which I love Pinterest. It's one of my favorites. And I have a couple of fork, knife, and spoon boards on there that have the 80s inspirations and movie quotes and different reviews and things. I will post, for example, the link to this podcast. I'll post that and pin it onto Pinterest. I'm on, and then, of course, Instagram, which I'm actually have come to love. I didn't get it for years, and I finally have really come to love Instagram as well.
Yeah.
So,
okay. Thank you. And I will put all of those links on the blog post when.
Thank you.
Yep. So that people can find.
That's where we've met. You and I met on these by following each other on Instagram and Twitter.
Yep. And then, I mean, I was enjoying following you on social media, and then you referenced When Harry Met Sally, and I just kind of fell in love with you.
It's my all-time favorite. I know, that's right. That's when we reached out and we really connected for real that way.
So we could be a couple on When Harry Met Sally, you know, just we'd have to tell our platonic story, and we could talk about how we met.
How we met and how our relationship grew. And then that was, I love it. I love it. It's so funny.
So, on that note, is there anything that we haven't covered that you would really like to talk about in terms of your books or writing in general, just anything that we haven't covered?
Well, you know, I just want to thank you so much, because I'm thrilled, and I love talking to book people. I mean, people who love books are my peeps. So I just thank you for having me on. And the one thing I would just say on behalf of all authors, so all the authors I just mentioned and anybody you read, it really, really matters for readers. If you like a book, just to take 2 seconds to write a review. Goodreads and Amazon, you don't need to have bought it there. But so not just for my book, I speak that on behalf of everybody. It really makes a difference, and we so appreciate a review. So as readers, I think sometimes we don't think about that next step, and it is a real gift to an author if you write a review. So I always like to put that that word out there for readers.
Yep, I agree. I hear that so often that, you know, it helps a lot. And so, and like you said, Leah, it doesn't take that long. You can just go and write a quick review, as long as it's helpful and constructive. You know, you don't need to go out there and be snarky. But if it's helpful and constructive, that's perfect. So
As our moms used to say, if you have nothing nice to say,
say anything at all. That's right. That's right.
But we all get those too. We all get the 1 and 2 stars as well. But
yes.
Yep.
Well, thank you so
part
much.
Part of the getting the thick skin, right?
Yes,
sorry, I'm
exactly.
Sorry. It's part of getting the thick skin to have the low star reviews.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. I mean, and you know, if somebody gives you a low star review, but they have a perfectly good reason for it, that's, you know, that's one thing. But
it's all fair.
If you just go on there and be like, I didn't like it. Okay, well, okay. that's not helpful. Can you give me a little bit more?
Right.
Anyway, I do want to thank you for taking time out of your weekend to talk to me. I know, I'm sure you're busy and you have things to do. So thank you so much for taking the time. I really appreciate it.
It was my pleasure. I appreciate you. Thank you so much, Sarah.
Oh, Thank you once again to my guest, Leah DeCesare, author of Fork, Knives, and Spoons, as well as the two Naked Parenting books. Thank you to her for taking the time to talk to me about her books, as well as her her works in progress. I appreciate her so much. I had so much fun with her, as you could probably tell by my laughing hysterically over everything. We actually bonded on social media before we met about When Harry Met Sally. You probably got that as well. So it was so much fun to talk with her, and I want to say thank you again. Thank you, as always, to you, my listeners, for joining me for yet another podcast. I hope you'll join me again Thursday when I will be speaking with author Karen Christensen about her book, Co-Parenting from the Inside Out, another nonfiction book, and I'm excited to give you that interview with Karen and her work with co-parenting and the interview process that she did in order to write that book. So join me for that interview on Thursday. In the meantime, you can find all of our podcasts at www.gsmcpodcast.com. You can download those podcasts on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, any app that you use for your mobile device, and you can follow us on social media. I would love to hear from you. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram. Thank you again for joining me. Thank you to my guest, Leah DeCesare, and I hope that you are having, as I said before, a wonderful week, but I hope that you find time during this wonderful week to go get yourself lost in a good book. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.